Hi all, welcome to episode 14 of the Game Week Navigators. I'm Aditya, and as usual, I have Leong and Sankalp with me. We are back after a very underwhelming, low-scoring Game Week 2. We can keep Game Week 2 aside, and let's look at the positive side that Game Week 3 is coming up in less than 2 days away. So, these are going to be our talking points, because we have a lot to cover, a lot of dilemmas here. So, the talking points, as usual, we are going to look at the transfer trends so far. Look at the fixtures for the next few odd weeks, because the fixture planning really starts now, potentially with the wildcard coming up in during the international break. So, just an early insight on that. Then we look at few of the numbers that we saw the last 2 weeks. Although, yes, 2 weeks is a very small sample size, but still we are just putting it out for discussion's sake. Then we look at game week 3 overall. Look at few of the dilemmas we have, our few captaincy options, and the worst teams. So let's jump straight to the transfer trends. So these are the sort of players that are being shipped in and out at the moment, and the transfer ins are pretty much straightforward, right? Mbeumo, Estupinian, Pisa, Bitoma, Mars, all of them who hauled. And the ones that are being transferred out are Stones, obviously, who did not play. James is injured. Mahalis got benched. Rashford blank. McAllister got sent off, but his red card has been rescinded, so he's back. So I think those who shipped him out, knee-jerk decision, but obviously he doesn't look likely to score most of the points. So these are the overall numbers perspectives, but let's look at, in general, the trends. There are potential risers that we have. Any of the names that possibly tempt you from this list?
I like Visa. I like Jackson. I think these are the two people, especially the forward slot. I think most of us have started looking into that second forward slot. So these are the two names that I've been looking at. And I'm sure Jackson will be rising really strong. We'll be looking at the fixtures, right?
Yeah, I'm quite surprised that Jackson actually don't rise a few days ago, because I expect him to rise right away, because he should be a hot pick for everyone, because due to Chelsea's fixtures. And also, we look at our 4 million defender now that Reece James is out for long term, so Gusto might be a good choice. We haven't seen a lot of him, but I think it's a price that attracts people to him, even though that we don't really lack of money right now, because of the premium options actually don't really scoring much for now. Yeah.
Okay, so with the rises, we'll obviously look at the players that who could potentially drop. And obviously, João Pedro is number one. He had a price rise. He's going to drop. But we did get news earlier today that Enciso is possibly out. So Pedro is back in contention. So people are just going here and there with Archer and Pedro. So that's a pretty funny thing to see. But I think the rest of the names are pretty much players who are not going to give you a lot of points based on how they played or they played. Gakpo is someone who didn't look that enticing, and the rest of the names are pretty much like maybe possibly dead teams removing the players out.
Yeah. I wouldn't sell Pedro right now, because as we know, and Ciso is out, but we know that Di Zerbi has a lot of other choices, as we can see last season, like with choices like Buonanotte, like he likes to rotate also. But I think it's early of the season and he wouldn't risk it, so Pedro should start the next game.
West Ham at home, right? I think it's a good game to keep the player. I mean, he's given you one penalty, he's given you one nil, I think, zero pointer, right?
Yeah, zero points, yeah, with the yellow card.
He's given both ends of the spectrum, and one more week makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so let's then jump into the next segment, where we're going to look at the fixtures for the next 5 odd weeks. And I'm going to let Sankalp take us through this, because he was very excited to discuss it, so I'm going to give it to him now.
Yeah, I mean, first couple of weeks, most of us sat with the team that we had chosen, right? I think Leong made one transfer, else the two of us, we have gone into it with two free transfers now. And that's been majority of the FPL managers who, across seasons, actually have tried out this style where you sit with two free transfers, you maybe take a hit, and with a -4, you have three transfers, right? A mini wildcard jig to your team. And a popular strategy that is coming out this season is perhaps game week 8, game week 9 wildcard, and that's the reason we are looking at the next 6 matches just to see who's standing out, right? And this is the reason we see a lot of traction for players like Jackson, Gusto, etc., because the fixtures look really good. I mean, it starts with this week itself. They play Luton at home and followed by another home fixture against Nottingham Forest. Then you have some decent fixtures, I would say. Right, my phone, I am unable to zoom in, but I can see, I think, Bournemouth away, Villa at home, Fulham away, Burnley away. Not extremely good, but not extremely bad as well. Right? So fixtures-wise, they look really, really good. And then you have the usuals, right? You have Manchester City, you have Tottenham. Tottenham is a set of is a club all of us were waiting to see how it pans out. Now we have a bit more idea. And so basically what I'm trying to say is we use game week 1, game week 2 for observations. And now that we have the fixtures ahead of us, maybe we can start mixing the observations into the fixture and start taking decisions, right? What do you guys say? Where are you looking at currently?
One thing that stands out to me is that we can see that Luton is actually second in the fixtures ranking, even though it's not realistic for them to actually take a lot of points from here. But I'm interested to see how they can cope when they move back to their home, because they haven't hosted any matches now due to some problems with their stadium. That's why they blank in game week 2. So it's interesting to see. I'll definitely tune in live to see for their first home game again. I think it's against West Ham. Yeah, and also we can see that the most players that people bring in right now is Chelsea and Man City players due to their kind fixtures, especially you see also Spurs as well, because the next three fixtures are really tasty: Bournemouth, Burnley, and Sheffield United. But the standout once again is Man City and Chelsea. So I think we'll discuss about the assets more later.
Correct. I mean, obviously, we are going to marry a bit of assets with the fixtures. Manchester City look really solid, and I will get into the stats, but they look to be the same mean defense they were last season and the seasons before. And I'm really looking forward to, just getting one of those Manchester City low ceiling but high floor defenders, because I think the trend so far for us defender wise has been the likes of Henry, Chilwell, Estupiñán, where we are not getting the clean sheets, but we are happy with the attacking assets. So it will be good to balance it out and have one of those, floor clean sheet to have. Also, if you look at the fixtures now, Brighton are going down from a fixture point of view, right? I mean, I'm sure they will continue to have a good set of performances, but from a clean sheet point of view, I think the entire potential is now starting to go down. So people might start to look at Estupiñán replacements. So and same with Liverpool as well, right? You have a lot of people went with Mo Salah drafts, and now we have started seeing a shift towards no Salah drafts. I would say they have been fortunate because a lot of Mo Salah drafts actually had players like Mbeumo, Pedro, João Pedro, and even Mitoma, right? And they have done pretty well. And this seems like the good time to start sifting a bit towards the next set of fixtures, right? Here I can see in the top five United being there from a fixture point of view, right? And we have Aditya, right? So two fixtures down, people still have hope. I have double United midfield. What's the take here? Do we hold?
I think we will get the perfect answer against Forest.
Forest is
So
a good way
that's the
to.
game. That's the last dance you can call. So if one of them, let's see, out of the two players, I'm pretty sure everybody's going to ship out one out of the two, irrespective, even if both of them give a double digit haul, because you need to attack the other players, right, from other clubs. So yeah, that's how I look at it at the moment.
Perfect. I think let's get on to the next slide, start looking at the team stats, and we will definitely keep coming back to fixtures, at least from a reference point of view. Right. So team stats-wise, this is where things get really interesting. The top four teams are not our usual suspects, It's not Manchester City, it's not Arsenal, Chelsea, United, even Liverpool came just in place for fifth. And this is a table which we have taken from Fantasy Football Scout. It's sorted by expected goals, and you see Brighton right there at the top. Obviously, they had good fixtures as well, but really solid. You know, two games, an expected goal of 6.23, and a goal scored is 8 goals scored in 2 matches, looking really strong. Next comes Brentford, everyone's new favorite now. We have Wijnaldum, Mbeumo. Everyone is talking about them primarily because if you look at the expected goal, it's 6.15. It includes two penalties. Still, if you look at the number of touches they have, more or less, I think they have created a really balanced team, a really balanced attack so far. Villa third, but I think it's a bit skewed with the Everton game. Because Everton were really, really poor in the last match. I mean, as a Watkins owner, I was almost banging my head, not getting anything. And then you see Watkins go out and see his replacement come and score with his second touch or third touch. So difficult to take. And then we have Wolves. Wolves have scored only one goal so far, but they have an expected goal of 4.5. So both the matches, I think they created a lot of opportunities, be it Brighton, be it United. Just don't have anyone to convert. They are lacking that Mitrovic factor. Right. After this, we have our usual suspects coming in, but any observations, initial observations from you guys?
Yeah, we can see that from the top five transfer in this weeks are all from teams like Brighton and Brentford. So it justifies it because due to the high XG and also they really passes the eye test in terms of attacking play. But I think that this is just a temporary thing because I'm sure the top six or the so-called the big six will sort of make their way back, especially when you see Man City. The way that Pep tends to start the season, they tend to leak a goals at the end of the game here and there. But this season, they seem to change a bit because Pep seems to put much more emphasis on the defense. I'm not sure if it's what he meant to do this season or he's just a bit lacking in terms of attacking options. So we'll see, observe even more in the upcoming games whether he plan to tighten up in the back and maybe attack a little bit less towards the end of the game, try to keep more clean sheets.
Yeah, I mean, looking purely at a football point of view, right? Most of the big teams are going through some sort of transition. You look at City, like you mentioned, I'll not call them weaker at the front, but they are a bit lighter compared to how they were. I was looking at the bench last game week, and I was thinking, hey, you know, most of the teams have a better bench than City. They're going into the season, right? And then you have teams like Arsenal who are trying out a new formation, fairly imbalanced, you know, looking to sort out things. Same with Chelsea, same with United for some reason, who are just not clicking currently, right? There's not a lot of changes. I think it's only Mount who's come into that front, but still, Rashford getting into the center forward position, they're still sorting things out. And Chelsea is a fairly new team, right? Most of the players are playing with each other for the first time. Unlike them, if you look at Brighton, Brentford lost Tony to a ban. Brighton play with Welbeck, play with Pedro, but more or less they have fairly settled squad. They have fairly settled philosophies of playing, and that has really helped them. And same with Aston Villa, looking really core, clean. The attacking styles are fairly predictable, at least from a fan point of view. You know who is going to get most of the chances. And I think people who went there were pretty smart, you know, going for the likes of Mitoma, March owners, fairly consistent asset. We knew what to expect. We knew that they can give us a goal any day, and they have been doing that. Towards
Okay,
the
for some
bottom,
reason there was
yeah.
some glitch with my audio. So yeah, I had a nice time listening to all whatever you both of you were speaking. But yeah, I mean the numbers justify, and some of the teams at the bottom are not looking that good. I think that's what you were going to say with the numbers on the list there. Burnley just have played a game, so we need to wait and see. Sheffield, we can't expect a lot. Luton looked good against Brighton, but again they just had played a game, so maybe if they play two or three or more odd games, we'll come to know. Forest, Bournemouth, and all. That's fine. I mean, pretty much, it's kind of self-explanatory unless you want to add anything here, Shankar.
I think we are good.
Cool, then we look at defense, and there is actually one question regarding Pickford. So, Pickford was a trap. Who to ship him off to? Personally, eyeing Ederson or Sanchez. Do you want to talk about this now, or there is a specific question related to that later?
Yeah, I think we'll pick it up in the dilemmas. And we have the second statement. I want to highlight it as well.
Yeah, I saw it, I think.
The second,
Wait,
the
one
one after
second.
this.
Yeah, now it's changed.
Okay.
So why is there a transition?
Why? We all want to know the
Yeah,
reason.
okay. There's a reason. Okay. Actually, because we'll be talking about a lot about Chelsea this game week, and me myself is actually contemplating of bringing in a Chelsea player. I'm not sure yet because I haven't done the transfer. So the reason of wearing this shirt, which I used to stay nearby Chelsea Stadium. I used to attend their game for half a season, for the half a season pass. So I got the shirt, and the reason I put this on is because I want to get some inspiration, whether I want to bring in anything through our discussion, and hope it helps me in some way. I don't know. Yeah, I hope that answers your question, but I'm still very loyal Newcastle fan. No change for that.
No, I don't think so. We already got that. Leong was poached by Boy. He's their new striker.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't have picked myself for this game, which.
Perfect. So we'll get to the different side of things.
Yeah, we'll look at the defense now.
Man City being one.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, I think things are looking much more predictable in nature. City are still the best defense, 0.1 conceded out of 2 games. And they played, I would say, two tough player teams. Burnley away was not easy. Burnley were pressing them like crazy. Newcastle are a really, really good team, but they kept them at bay. And then to add to it, one thing was interesting. You see Crystal Palace there at the second place. Arsenal the third place, Brentford the fourth place. But these four, top four, are fairly close. Expected goal conceded is less than, on target conceded is less than 2. After that, there's a big gap, right? So United, Liverpool, Burnley obviously plays City, West Ham. So none of the other teams are coming close. Most of us don't have defenders from City, Arsenal, right? Some of people I think have gone Saliba, which from Gabriel they were happy to. Some people have John Stone as the keeper, though there are rumors that they are looking to sign Dean Henderson now. Right? But things are looking predictable. I think if now you have started to look to make your transfers and you want to take out some money or put some money, City and Arsenal. For me, I am more confident now of an Arsenal clean sheet than I was at the start of the season, at least.
Yeah, I think for the last game against Arsenal, I think Arsenal find it very tough to break Crystal Palace down. Even before they were down to 10 men, I think Crystal Palace were very solid at the back, especially with Roy Hodgson reverting back to his defensive philosophy again. We see him attack a lot towards the end of last season. Maybe he needed the points. Right now, I think he goes for the safety-first approach again. And one surprising thing is I think a lot of people went for Pickford at the start of season because they expect Sean Dyche to actually make Everton somehow more solid defensively, and we can see here that it's not the case. They are still bad at the back, and I'm not sure if he can really fix this. If he don't, then I think Everton is in serious trouble this season.
Teams to attack, right there at the bottom. Aditya, you agree?
Sorry?
Yeah,
Oh,
Fulham,
Fulham,
Villa, Bournemouth, Luton, Wolves, Everton. All these names, the funniest thing is that clean sheets are getting wiped out because purely that there could be reason that the teams are not defending well enough in terms of they need more of cohesion, is that they need to play more together. One is the added time now, so there are more chances of you losing clean sheet points because of all 14 minutes of added time, 10 minutes of added time, all crazy added times coming into picture, and you're losing clean sheet points. So I think we need to kind of shift ourselves from the mentality of getting defenders who are going to keep guaranteed clean sheets and go for defenders who are going to get you attacking points. Now with that, I want to just come to a point that at the start of the season when we were making drafts, everybody had sort of like Man City defenders from game week 4 onwards, Brighton defenders till game week 3. So the plan has worked so far, right? Only thing is that you would have preferred getting a City defender over maybe a Chilwell in hindsight for the first 2 weeks, because obviously they have kept two clean sheets and Chilwell has just scored in, I mean, got you points in for one. But now do you make that switch from, let's say, someone like Estupinian to Akanji or Wardiol because of the fixture turn? Or you are like, no, my thinking here is that Estupinian is someone who's getting offensive points. I'm not bothered about Brighton's clean sheets, right? Do I do that switch or not? That's the place where I think it is kind of getting tricky, and you know, that shift of clean sheet points has to go out from now. I think you need to attack and get defenders who are going to get you offensive points now. Clean sheet is getting very tough now because every team somehow is managing to score and scrape goals. So that's the thing. Although 2 weeks is a very small sample size again. So over the long stretch of time, I think when teams play more or more together with their players, we might see improved numbers there.
Last season, one thing I also noticed was the return of the center backs, right? Most seasons, we used to see full backs getting picked a lot and picking up a lot of points, FPL points. But a lot of teams change their style. We don't have traditional attacking full backs anymore. A lot of teams are going for inverted full backs. So that has led to a decrease in the attractiveness of full backs till last season. But this season, with the point that you mentioned, it might change a bit, primarily because the center backs always play till the end of the game. Very rarely do we see a center back getting subbed. But full back goes up and down a lot, and that's the reason he gets subbed out. And this might help us a bit because that full back might play his 65 minutes and get subbed out, only for the team to concede later. So this is something that I feel it's a good theory to form today. But we'll be testing it out over the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Yes, we will. I mean, one good example would be that tactically, I think Chilwell got subbed off for someone from Chelsea's attack and all. We saw him getting and he was himself surprised. So, okay. Few changes here and there will happen, but we'll see. I think there's a lot of things to discuss. So, we'll go on next slide to Game Week 3 fixtures. We'll just talk on it just for a few minutes and then we'll go on to the dilemmas because they are more important pertaining to Game Week 3 and ahead. So Chelsea Luton, the first game Friday night, a lot of expectations for people who have Chelsea assets and will hope for positive returns from there. The remaining few there are some good games and different varied options for captaincy, I would say, other than Haaland obviously being the pretty much the default pick with the fixture also that City have. But any of the other games that entice you, Brentford Crystal Palace could be, Crystal Palace, we know defensively they have looked like good. Could they maybe stop Brentford? We don't know. Arsenal Fulham, it could be a good game for Arsenal at home. Spurs. So,
yeah, maybe for the last game, for the game week, Newcastle, you go back to Newcastle again, Newcastle versus Liverpool, and you can see that it's a minor disappointment that we lost 1-0 to Man City. We didn't have attack a lot. They limited us to very few chances. It's not the way that we usually play, but I think Eddie Howe tried to get something in that match against City, and we eventually fall short. So back to St. James's Park, I think we'll go back to our attacking, high-pressing game again. So I don't think it will be a very easy game for Liverpool as to come to our stadium, especially they look so leaky at the back at the moment. And I think we'll definitely get one or two goals there. It might be a high-scoring game if they decided to attack as well. So it will be interesting to see how both team does in this game. But I still think Newcastle defense is quite solid at the moment as usual. So Liverpool will have some problem with breaking us down for the game.
Chelsea Luton is something that we have to see. A lot of shift is going to go towards Nicholas Jackson as the second striker, primarily on account of the Luton match, because We have seen Luton only one match, but the general consensus is that they are not as strong a team as the rest of the promoted squads, defensively at least. And that's the reason a lot of people are looking to attack with Chelsea. Chelsea attack, I would say, has not gelled that well, right? I was looking at the graphs, and Jackson is not the furthermost player. I think Chilwell is playing even higher than Jackson. And I forgot the midfielder who got injured, Chukwueke, right? So
yeah.
even he was playing a bit forward than Jackson. Sterling had a good match. Sterling had the drive in him, though he did not create anything, but I thought he could take on players more with confidence. So my only issue with Chelsea is I don't know where the points are coming from. I know those points are coming because it's Luton at home. Chelsea are disappointed with the West Ham match, so they'll be looking to strike back. And at the same time, I expect Caicedo perhaps to start this match from the start. Would have had one more week to gel with the team, possibly start as well. So overall, I see points coming in this match, but I'm happy to have one asset rather than two. Maybe to see out this fixture and then take a call rather than jump into it. But I know Leong perhaps has a different view with his Chelsea shirt.
Mohili has bought him. He's going to be
yeah. Okay. No. Actually, I wanted to speak more about Luton. Actually, you look at Luton. People expect Chelsea to just walk over Luton, but I don't think they'll do that because you look at last season in the Championship, they actually have the best defense, even better than Sheffield United and Burnley. So I think they'll keep it really tight at the back, especially away. So if Chelsea find it hard to break down and eventually they'll get frustrated and try to change things, like maybe in the last game when they bring out Chilwell and try to change things a bit. But Sun Cup said just now, I expect Caicedo to really stabilize the midfield and maybe Lavia coming in as well. So they'll have a better balance in midfield in terms of attacking and also defensive options. So right now, I think with Caicedo fitting in, they'll give more chances for the forward to push and attack. So my prediction for now, if you ask me, I think Chelsea will win by 2 goals, 2-0. But if I won't be surprised to see if Luton scoring at least one, maybe through Morris. Yeah.
And one player we have not talked about a lot, primarily because in FPL we rarely talk about, you know, CDM center midfielders, right? But Enzo Fernandez is where a lot of eyes will be, because I think under Pochettino he's getting a far more freedom to go out to attack. We saw it in the Liverpool match where he was absolutely bossing them.
Yeah.
West Ham not so much, because I think they kept it really, really tight in the middle. But with Luton, he's expected to find those spaces again. Are you open for, you know, transfers like that? May not be this week, but if you see someone like Enzo doing really well, he's on pens as well. Does it give you a bit of tinkering?
Yeah, I think he keeps the penalty as well. Even though he missed the first one, he's been a very good penalty taker throughout his whole career. And him being in a more forward position, I think, and his price as well, very affordable price. So I'm surprised that not many people rush in to buy him because of the Chilwell and Jackson factor right now. So if he continues to do well in terms of his heat map, maybe people will eventually notice that he's a good FPL option.
Understood. Yeah. And I wanted to talk a bit about United and Forest, primarily because I know we'll again cover it in the dilemma sort of thing. Right? But Nottingham Forest have conceded a XG of 1.33, even though XG on target is a bit higher. They looked solid and deep against us. Mm-hmm. They looked really strong in the second match as well. I think they conceded by a really, really tough goal. But like you predicted, Turner is coming out to be a good keeper, solid at the back. He keeps things clean. Is this match going to be an easy one, tough one? What do you do? Aditya, what are your thoughts currently?
Easy, tough and all is, that's how the league is. Every team is going to be competitive enough. And the thing with United is that you should not keep a lot of expectations. A lot of other things are going around in the club. transfers wise, performance on the pitch, back end in terms of the hierarchy and all the other things. The Greenwood saga came to an end. A lot of unwanted attention here and there. Overall, if we look what is going to happen, I think Mount is out for 2 weeks or so. I'm not sure whether he's out, he's injured, or he's taken out of the squad because he's not played well. I don't know. It's Ten Hag basically. He'll never change anything straightforward. So we'll see Eriksen play in his place. So it's going to be basically I'm expecting it's going to be Onana, Wan-Bissaka, Varane, Martinez, Shaw, Casemiro, Eriksen, Fernandes. And there's a question mark. I think it is going to be I'm guessing Sancho, Rashford, and there is a slim chance Rasmus Højlund could play. A very slim chance. I'm not sure, but we'll see whether whether we get any update or so
Off the
from
bench.
Ten Hag. I think there's a good chance of him starting, more or less. So we're just waiting for Ten Hag to say something in the press conference because Rashford is not happy playing striker. I don't know what went wrong and completely. See, in terms of when chances created, right, when we were talking, United were 32. I think that's the second best. You're not able to convert your chances. First half against Spurs, they were excellent enough. Bruno missed a pretty much an easy header there. What can I say? We're not able to put the ball back, right, in the net. That's where it is hitting us. I think Rashford will play better on the wings rather than the middle. You need Højlund. Antony, when we did the United preview, I said, right, he's unpredictable. You don't know how he's going to play. If he starts playing well, if he starts scoring, then only he'll start playing well. If not, he's gone. And he didn't have, that great game. So there's a good chance Sancho might take up his place. And we need to win that game against Forest. Anything less than 3 points is going to get us in trouble because you'd be just barely about. You're on 3 points at the moment. If you drop points against Forest at home, it's going to get annoying because the next week you're going to play Arsenal away, and that's a tough game. Pretty much, I think United will prefer taking a point from Arsenal there than dropping points again in 2 consecutive weeks. So there's a lot of stake at this game, and I think we might see an improved performance. I'm waiting on Rasmus Højlund to see what's going to happen there, and there your slot for 7 million forward will also open up, but he has a long way to go. So if United play a striker, I think that will improve them, and then Eriksen also will improve them, because obviously Forest, as you said, they're going to sit behind. They're a low block team. They're going to come to Old Trafford saying, we are going to park the bus, we're going to take a point, or we're going to attack them on the break with Brennan Johnson, Awoniyi and all. So it's going to be good game to watch, but I think United should go for the 3 points. They should, and if they want to go for 3 points, the two double ups that we have need to produce something. So it's all going back to it.
One fixture I am really afraid of is the Brighton West Ham, because I started the season with no Brighton asset. I have now gone two game weeks barely surviving. West Ham just does not give me confidence against Brighton. And I mean, it's very, very difficult to go for them now, given that the pictures will start to turn. And it's not turning that much. I just had a look. I know they are at the bottom of the ticker, but if you look at them, it's West Ham at home, which is really, really good. Then it's Newcastle at home. It's a tough match, but it's at home for Brighton, which I think they won last year. Then you go United away, which will be tricky for sure. Then it's Bournemouth at home, which should again be good. It's Villa away, which, to be honest, I rate Brighton way, way more than Villa now. And then if you look at it, it's Liverpool at home, which again I feel somehow Brighton are the favorites. And so there's a lot of talk about Brighton not having, or there's a fixture turn happening for them now. I'm not as convinced. And it's not like they have suddenly become good, and it's just a limited sample of 2 matches. Well, we have been reading a lot about Brighton. On Brighton, after their new coach has come in, they are the second most attacking team in terms of number of goals scored, in terms of XG, everything. So they are no fluke. They are going to continue what they are going to do. They might lose matches, they might draw matches. That's a different thing. But from an attacking point of view, we are pretty much there. So I'm not sure. Now I've started to ask questions. At this is the time that you start asking yourself questions. Why did I do this? Why did I do that? So the two questions on top of my mind easily is obviously why not Mbeumo? Why did you not go there? And second is it still too late to go for Mitoma? Because what? I think he's still 6.6. If I go for March, he's still 6.6. Right? So these guys are still cheap. And the fixture, at least for game week 3, looks really, really solid. Do you look at it as a short-term punt, or do you think?
I won't really make a conclusion on Brighton until I see them in Europe, because it's the first time them playing Europe, and you see De Zerbi rotates a lot towards the end of last season, so we are not sure how he's going to manage his squad. Is his squad good enough to play in both competitions, fielding good squad in both, as we can see in West Ham, that David Moyes actually has his own preferred squad in Premier League and another entirely different squad that he likes to play in Europe. So we are not sure if De Zerbi is going down that route, or is he rotating things a bit, or is he prioritizing Premier League over Europe. We can't be sure about that until we really see it happen. So for now, if you have any Brighton assets, I would advise you to keep it, including Pedro as well, as we mentioned just now, and we just see how they cope with it. Yeah. No rush to sell any Brighton assets, even though their fixtures eventually turn tough for me.
If you have them, you keep them, right?
Yeah.
Till they go bad. Till you see them getting benched or dropped, you just continue running with it, because they are at the top of the ticker, at least from a stats point of view. And I think we would end a bit with City, right? Because now the fixtures are turning for City. And there are a lot of questions around Phil Foden, Alvarez, right? And like we're talking about defenders. Primarily, people will not spend a lot on defense now, but do you want to go double attack? Do you want to go triple attack? We saw stats-wise, City are right there in the middle from XG point of view. They're not creating that much. Whatever they're creating is still going via Haaland. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I think people would if you just look at the fixtures alone, they will automatically go for triple city, go all the way for triple city. The way they would go is to pick one city defender, probably for now Akanji or Radio, and then they'll go with Haaland at another city attacker. Right now it's either Foden or Alvarez, so it's the route that they want to go down now if they look at the fixtures. But for me, it's a max two City for me. I'm not convinced with City defenders, as you can see that the maximum points scored by a City defender last season is John Stones with 98. So you need to pick your moments on which City to defender to pick at which time. There should be less rotation now since it's just the beginning of the season. But as we move on, then you will have to worry every game before when you see the team sheet whether my City defender is starting or not. It's something that I don't want to put myself into. So for now, Haaland, and then maybe you just pair it up with either Foden or Alvarez for now, for me.
Who was your second choice, Aditya?
Well, yeah. That's a tough one. The thing is that it's getting very difficult to trust that which City player is going to get you points, right? It kind of gets scattered most of the times. Last season, it was pretty much evident. It was Haaland. Everything was going towards him and he was scoring. But you have Alvarez, Foden, and probably one of the defender as the three, and you need to pick. Maybe another one is the safe option. So I think I would say I will watch the Sheffield game and then decide, but it is more or less, I would say it will be Foden versus a defender, because then if you don't go Alvarez, you will get an option to go Jackson and all. That's pretty much like a boxing game. Everybody's coming to the same conclusion there. And I think we'll talk more with the dilemmas, because we have the same things there. So
yeah.
We'll just move on to dilemmas of the week. We'll just do a quick fire round of questions that we have, and then we'll move on to the next part. So this is one for Sankal. I'm going to throw it straight away. Mid team stable attack versus big teams mid transformation attack. What's this?
Yeah, we obviously touched upon it a bit. Primarily Brighton, Brentford versus City, Arsenal, Liverpool. Right? What do you expect in the coming weeks? Right, if you look at the ticker now. The ticker is changing a bit, right? Because Brighton and Brentford were right at the top when things started. now Brentford goes towards the middle and Brighton is there towards the bottom. Do you see it impacting the number of goals getting scored? Do you see City, Chelsea outscoring Brighton in the next six?
I don't think so, right? Brighton have been playing well last year. We know they're such an offensive side. The numbers were pretty much so good. They were, I think, second best, as you were saying. I think Brighton are better than Brentford in attack. So I think they might keep the same rhythm in which they're playing. But obviously, see, Brentford, I'm going to give it to Leon to answer. He's my favorite club.
No. Okay, the thing about Brentford is that you see they don't really stand out in the stats. In terms of possession, they don't have it a lot. In terms of shots on goals, in terms of attacking stats, they don't really stand out. But somehow, they find a way to score goals. And they find a way to defend, and they find a way to win games or draw games, somehow to grind out results. So with or without Ivan Toney, they have proven right now that they can cope really well attackingly without Toney. So I expect them to continue to maintain this. They don't have good attacking stats, but they continue to score the goals and they continue to grind out results. And at home, they are really strong as well. So I wouldn't bet against them in their home games, even against the top six oppositions.
Yeah. One thing I found really interesting looking at the stats, I was just playing around with it for a part, is while they are second highest in XG, net XG, non-penalty XG created, they are still among the lower teams when it comes to, non-open play chances created. So most of the chances for them is still coming via set pieces, corners, free kicks, and obviously penalties, right? So most of the chances has been created via that angle. That's one reason it makes me a bit skeptical. So a lot of people are asking, hey, should we double up on Brentford? I cannot say yes with a lot of certainty, because when it's set pieces, right, you cannot be certain you will continue to get that opportunity. With open play chances, you know that it's on account of your style, and it's something that you may be able to replicate across matches, irrespective of the quality of defense. But with set plays, I'm not as confident. And that's the reason I'm not pretty confident of a double up. If I look at the big chances created, they created 5 big chances compared to someone like Brighton, who created 9 big chances. Right? So that's the difference. Even though the net XG is pretty close, the number of chances created by Brentford was 17 to Brighton's 38. The difference looks fairly significant. And that's the reason, if I have to dump one of these teams, or if I have to say that maybe this team will not be able to continue with that same goal scoring form, Brentford feels like that they might be the team. But one thing for sure, they have turned out to be really clinical in the way they are taking of the chances. Whatever chances they get, they are able to create, they're creating high quality chances. They're not creating a lot of low quality chances.
Yeah.
Next, we'll come on to the probably one of the most important questions this week. And I'm pinning the same question here. I was talk about Isaac, Jackson, Alvarez, and the same thing I'm going to put. Second striker dilemma. Jackson versus Alvarez versus Visa versus Isaac.
Yeah, where do you want to go? Are you making that call, Aditya? Who do you have as your second striker after Haaland?
I have Jackson from Game Week 1.
Oh,
I'm sorted.
Oh. You don't want a third striker?
No, I already got slapped for 2 weeks. So I'm thinking, why the hell did I go Jackson in Game Week 1?
Okay,
yes. Only to be saying, what is it? Grass FC versus XL FC, that. Oh, it's that debate. When he looks so good, but he's not getting me the points. At the end of the day, I need points. I don't want him to look good. So,
but you don't want to sell him, right? Irrespective of his blanks.
Obviously, the fixture turn. I mean, people are going. Jackson is going to get a price, right? For just scoring 3 points. I mean, in 2 weeks. That's one way to look at it. Second is that you need to time your picks based on the fixture run. So that way it makes sense. But obviously, Alvarez, someone who plays for City, will score. Visa has played well for Brentford, will score. Isaac played well for Newcastle, will score. Jackson, not scored. Chelsea, not attacking well. So, I don't know.
That's a pretty simple way of putting it. Leong, we have discussed a bit, obviously, prior to the part, but what are your thoughts? Where do you want to go and why?
Okay, so obviously I have to speak about Isaac first. So if you look about this the four names that we mentioned here, the X minutes, the lowest X minutes, of course, is Isaac, because so far he has played 134 minutes, which you divide in two games is like less than 70 minutes per game, because Eddie Howe likes to put Wilson in towards the end of the game against tired legs in the defense, expecting Wilson to actually capitalize on a few chances. So I feel that right now I'm not sure why people rush in to buy Isak, even though we scored five in the first game. Then we see Isak actually struggled a bit in Man City. So I'm not convinced that it is a way to go for now, especially we have two tough games against Liverpool and Brighton
But
coming up.
instead, he'll score two goals against Liverpool.
Yeah, because for Liverpool and Brighton, they don't really particularly have a good defense, so Isak might capitalize on that. But I would go for a more assured choice, because as you know, I have Risa since game week
Yeah.
one, and he has been a great differential for me
Okay.
until now. And even though it's a small sample size, he actually has the highest XG so far among all the strikers with 1.77. Of course, followed by Jackson, who's got nothing, but he actually has the second highest XG with 1.33. So Alvarez, you look at XG wise, it's not high. He's somewhere in the middle in 0.45. However, you look at his XA, he actually has a lot of potential in terms of assists, because he play in that hole behind Haaland, and also you can see a very good chemistry between him and Foden. So his XA is actually the highest among all the strikers with 0.4. So it's a more a more rounded striker in out of the four. For me, I'll keep Risa, and whoever you have right now, whether it's Jackson, Alvarez, or even Watkins, I just expect you to not rush into selling them. Whoever you have that does okay, the set looks okay for now, I would advise you to keep. And speaking about third striker, right? Just now we mentioned about third striker, right? We tend to go for the cheap 4.5 striker. Actually, we have Semenyo from Bournemouth actually doing great for now. And also we receive some news that Archer is actually moving to Sheffield United, and which I expect him to take over the starting striker spot from Osula. I have Archer for now. I'm really glad that I kept him till now, so he might be a really good value if he starts for Sheffield United.
Understood. One thing about Visa is he had 10 shots, and all 10 of those, I think 9 of the 10 were from inside the box. So he's getting good opportunities. And like you said, he looks really, really threatening as well. A lot of good penalty touches. And even the shots outside the box were from the 6 yard box. So fairly close, right? But so what you are also saying is you are not going for that third striker. You are happy with Visa and you want to stay, maybe see out a week more before deciding, week or two.
Yeah, I'm actually happy now with a non-playing third striker. I would like to just point out that there's one striker that is the most informed striker in the Premier League now that everyone has overlooked, and he's Awoniyi. As you know, he's actually scored 8 goals from the past 6 games, including 2 goals against Arsenal and 2 goals against Chelsea. So he actually does quite well against the big teams as well. But as you can see from a fixture sticker, that he actually have very tough fixtures. But if you want to take a punt and you believe that he can continue scoring, then why not go for it? And he's cheap as well.
Perfect. So for me, if I have Watkins with me, while I don't see any solid reason to sell Watkins, but at the same time I feel there's a good ceiling, higher ceiling choices available. That possibly Watkins outscores all the names we are discussing. There's a good chance. There's a good logic for it. But at the same time, if you look at fixtures, you feel like, hey, Jackson is there with the fixtures. Why not attack it? You will save money as well to maybe upgrade one of the defenders to a City defender, right? Alvarez at the end of the day is a City player. The only con for me for Alvarez is he's playing as the second striker, not as the attacker, right? Last year we were pretty high on Alvarez when Haaland got injured for that 2 3 weeks, primarily because he was playing as a striker and his stats got inflated heavily because of that. This season he's playing as the second striker. Somehow I'm not very I have a feeling that, hey, that Newcastle goal, right? So That is his ceiling. He'll score that one goal or he'll give you that one assist, but he'll not get you 10, 15 points, something that Mbeumo did, something that Visa did, which will really hurt you, right? And then you come down to the likes of Visa and Isaac. Visa, I don't want to go because I already emotionally I just jumped on Mbeumo when I saw there's a possible price rise. I like, hey, I made a mistake not going there. Let me just go there. And I sold Maddison the moment I heard the injury news because I knew he'll be out for a week or two. It was a short-term sell. I was happy with it. So I sold Maddison for Mbeumo. I don't want to double up for Brentford attack. I'm not that keen. Now it leaves me with Isaac, your boy Isaac versus your boy Jackson. It's a bit confused there, primarily because there's pro and con for all the choices here. But I'm more inclined towards Isaac. And my logic is fairly simple. People are looking at the fixtures saying, hey, Liverpool and Brighton are not easy fixtures. For Chelsea, Luton and Nottingham Forest are easy fixtures, right? That's the ploy. I'm not as convinced primarily because I think teams that sit deep are going to make things difficult for Chelsea compared to, say, Liverpool. For me, that was the best time for Chelsea to play Liverpool because they are fairly open in the middle. They are fairly porous and you can utilize that. It makes things a bit easier for you. But if you look at Isaac now, he's going to play Liverpool, who are going to come out and attack. They don't have a choice. They have dropped points already and they are not looking that good. So there will be opportunities. And like you said, there's goals in that fixture. It can be a 2-2, it can be 2-1, it can be 3-2, it can be anything. There's a good lot of potential there. And the same with Brighton. I always feel teams which play out from the back, etc., are good, are a bit compatible for Newcastle style. Newcastle can hurt them. Right. So I understand there's a con of, 70 minutes ceiling, but at the same time, I feel that's true for everyone except Visa. Jackson, maybe not, but at the same time, I feel Jackson's ceiling is lower. Right? So I've been debating it for a few days now, but I feel one Newcastle attack looks better to me than others. I'm not going to take City match into account. City is the toughest defense. I think City away is the worst match you can play, and you have already played that, right? So that is done. Everything after this is going to be easier than that. So this is my thought, and this is where I am. I see a question saying Eddie Nketiah are not in your thoughts at all. I think he's a good shout. Fulham at home, I expect him to get into returns. He's playing well, even though he didn't score. He missed a very good opportunity to score in the Palace match, but he's playing really well. And United at home, I remember last season he scored a brace, so I'm hoping he does something similar. I don't mind it as a short-term view, but at the same time, I'm not looking for any short-term fixtures, to be honest. So my own team strategy is more looking for the midterm, and that's the reason he's not in my thoughts. But anyone who does not have the money or is looking purely for a short-term move, I'll never, discourage you from Eddie because he's going to accumulate XG. He's going to have chances come to him. And then the fixtures are also not that bad. We have two home games now. Home games, Arsenal, I'll always encourage you to take the attackers. It's a good punt to make.
Yeah, I just want to add on a bit about Isak just now. So we have seen that Harvey Barnes has been really dangerous when he plays. So, but we haven't seen Barnes played a lot with Isak. So is this the game that how is going to start Barnes? Not sure, but as a fan, I really would love to see that happen. And I think the presence of Barnes will create more space for you attract a lot of defenders and attention on him, and he'll create more space for Isak to run into. And another thing is to comment about Watkins actually, him being not on penalty right now actually put a lot of people off. So a lot of people looking to sell him, but it's not like he's really good on penalty. He actually missed more than his score, I think. So if you look in terms of eye test, he's really dangerous, get into good precision. So if I have Watkins, I wouldn't sell him because it works really well with Diaby and looks good so far. Yeah, that's my take for the
Villa
strikers.
have couple of so what Villa play next is Burnley away, Liverpool away, and then Palace at home. I don't look at a high ceiling for these matches. That's my thought currently. Because I rate Burnley well. I know they have just played one match and that was in City, but even that match was not easy for City. They had to find out a lot of solutions for that match to win that match well. And Haaland scored two worldies, right? Matches, goals that Haaland scores. If you take that out of the picture for any other team, that will be out of the picture. It will be a tricky, it will be a very close match. And that's my thought. I don't think Watkins will not be involved in some way. He finds his way. He's a very, very good player. He finds his way to create opportunities for other players, even if he's not scoring. At the same time, that ceiling is there for you to try things out currently.
Yeah, so I think we'll just wrap up. So I think Aditya will just keep Jackson, I'll just keep Risa and
I will
Sankalp.
find the, I'll find a way to get someone
Yeah,
in.
for example, Isak maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've moved on to the next one.
Yeah, we need to move on to the next one. We've dwelled a lot and we're going to touch an hour mark. So let's just kind of speed up. Otherwise, it will get too much. I mean, I'm going to throw it up to Sankar straight away. Mahrez, keep or sell?
I would say sell. See, both the matches, it's more of a tactical call. And Arteta at the end of the match also said that, hey, this was primarily because we are expecting the opposition to, you know, sit back in a certain way. We wanted to create in a certain way. But at the same time, I feel what is happening is Arteta is trying to find a way of getting in both Rice and Partey into the team. As well as playing Havertz, right? So he doesn't want to leave anyone out. He wants to try this out. And he's okay with low scoring matches, primarily because he knows this is the way to go. And one of the sacrifices that he has to had to make is Gabriel so far. I do believe that there will be matches where we'll change and Gabriel will get back his place. And there will be matches where Gabriel will get his clean sheets as well. But the problem is you cannot play a guessing game with a 5 million defender, right? And he's already dropping price, and he will drop price. There'll be people who will sell. So I would get out of that place. I would rather you, if you have some money, I would try to use that money to get to a Chelsea defender, someone like Chilwell or a City defender. Right? I would try to secure that position.
Okay, just quick question to Sankap. Is there a possibility for Arsenal to sell Gabriel? And also, is there a possibility of Zinchenko starting the next game?
One, definitely no. Those are rumors. Even if some club is interested, I know Arsenal will not sell him cheap because we take long-term decisions and we have just given Gabriel a contract, 5-year contract in, I think, 3 months back. So we are not selling, and even Arteta was very clear when asked this question a couple of days back. Is Zinchenko going to start? Good question. I expect yes, because even if he came the last 10 odd minutes, he looked fairly fit. It is primarily down to his fitness because once Timber is out, he's the best choice available for us. And with Tomiyasu getting that yellow, double yellow, red, he's suspended for this match. So I do expect him to come on. The alternative is pure in case Zinchenko is still not fit, but I have a feeling he will start this match.
Okay, so moving on to our next one. So this one is for Aditya. What do we do with Bruno and Rashford?
I have that problem, so I'm looking for his answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in simple terms, hold. Straight away hold. This is the last game for both of them you can give. I mean, that was the intention of getting and going double United, was at least holding them on until game week 3. So stick to your plan, right? You pretty much looked at Wolves and Forest and not Tottenham. Wolves, yes, didn't go according to plan. Spurs, I mean, in terms for Rashford wise and Fernandes, both could have got points. Fernandes could have got points easily against Spurs. He didn't. So Forest game, hold both of them. And maybe based on that performance, maybe you can ship one of them out for the other Arsenal game. But I wouldn't say no if you want to ship Fernandes out. If
Yeah,
you want to do
my
it, I'm not going to say
question
no.
would be, for example, City are going to play Sheffield United away, right? A lot of us are looking at Foden to bring in, Phil Foden. So if I have to bring in Phil Foden, one of these two guys have to go out, right? Do you feel Bruno, even if he's playing better than Rashford, he's the guy we have to sacrifice?
We'll have to, unfortunately. right?
We have to hope for the last game.
We're all scared of Rashford's explosiveness, right? That's the reason. That's the simple answer to that. So I would, yeah, I mean, you'll have to ship out Bruno for Foden, but maybe you can also think the other way, saying that Sheffield, they're going to park their bus and make annoy the shit out of City, sorry for cussing, for them to score a goal. So you can also say that Fernandes could haul because they're playing at home. It's how you look at things. So, I mean, you hold both of them for this week and then you decide. But if you can't and you've made up your mind, you can ship Fernandes out.
But in your mind, is there any, for me, Phil Foden is that player. In your mind, is there any player for whom you are willing to sell Bruno or Rashford?
No, I am pretty much cold straightforward. I've not even looked at any other place.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
Leon,
actually
you have
with
only Rashford, right?
Yeah, I only have Rashford left, but if I have both, I'm actually with Aditya with holding them for this game week, because you look at Forest, even though they have the second best defensive record this season, just behind Man City. But you look at their record last season, especially in away games, they actually have the sixth worst, one of the worst record away, and two of the teams above them are actually relegated. So I don't expect them to magically become a strong defensive team. So I expect Man United to at least put two, three goals past them. At least, yeah. So I think it's a must keep. If you have them, then you decide what to do next game week. It's not a problem for this game week for me.
I think one question, we'll come to the next question and then I'll ask that question.
Yeah. So the next question is for you again. So as we have seen, Arsenal, Havertz and Martinelli haven't been doing a lot so far. So what should we do with them?
If it's Havertz, I think Kai is playing a lot as a Xhaka replacement. Primarily, he's getting into a lot of duels. He's stronger on that. But I think Palace, he had just one shot, which was just, you know, he barely had that opportunity. He just took it. Apart from that, he was getting into a lot of good spaces. It's just that his chemistry has not developed enough with the likes of Odegaard and Saka for them to look out for him, right? There are opportunities where they could have actually passed it to him and he might have scored. He was in good positions, but they never looked for him. They went for the shots itself. And that's my issue with Arsenal currently. We have 57% of our chances being created from right, which is like the highest. The next highest is Chelsea at 45%. So you can see the difference, right? So most of our play goes from the right side. And it's primarily because two of our best attackers, Odegaard and Saka, are now centered towards the right. Earlier, Odegaard had the freedom to move towards the left, right. He was more towards the right, but he could move out. Now what has happened is we have compartmentalized that entire section. Left, it's Havertz and Martinelli. Right, it's Odegaard and Saka. And both Havertz and Martinelli have not developed the chemistry in between, right? Because they are also playing for the first two, three matches. And and Saka and Odegaard have been playing for more than a season and a half or two seasons now, right? So that chemistry is showing, and that is the reason the ball is staying on the right way more than it should, right? And the issue is Havertz is looking more and more like a CDM, a center midfielder, rather than an attacker we expected him to. So in my mind, even though the match is good and he might score in this match, long term I feel he's an easy sell. So for example, if you are selling for someone like Foden or any City midfielder, right, I'd say just go for it. Do that change. I have no problem. With Martinelli, it's a bit more 50-50 because you see him still getting the chances. If the ball is coming towards the left side, it's coming to Martinelli when it comes to dangerous positions. I thought he had a couple of good chances which he could not take against Palace. So at least for the Fulham game, I would see him out. The hold position I have only for Martinelli. For Havertz, I feel it's a sell. Right? So after this, I wanted to ask you guys, if you want to, you know, buy someone like Phil Foden, who do you sell? Is it the United boys or is it the Arsenal boys?
Yeah, I mean, before we go to that, just to put you on the spot again on Arsenal. So yeah, we saw Odegaard taking the penalty last game. So is this do you think it's a permanent thing or just one, you know, or one off thing? And the second question is, we see that Martinelli actually combines with Jesus really well last season and not that well with Nketiah. So do you think this is a factor as well with Martinelli's slow start for the season?
I feel penalty from what Arteta said and what Odegaard even said, it feels like a one-off case where Odegaard just asked for it and Saka said, hey, why not just take it? It doesn't look like Saka is off pens. So I'm still going to assume that Saka is off pens, Saka is on pens until it happens again. Right? My thought is the next one, Saka is going to take it for sure. Then the third one, maybe we debate again. But the second one, for sure, it's on Saka. When it comes to Martinelli, I don't think it's more of an Eddie factor, because Eddie has evolved a lot as a footballer and now I can see him replicating a lot of what Jesus used to do. He's not playing central. He's dropping in left, right, center. He's the only player who's combining on the both side of things. And even if I was looking at his heat map, it was not central. It was around both the flanks. But a lot of it is more about that Martinelli-Havertz combination. Because Xhaka used to rotate a lot, cover a lot for Martinelli. That is not happening. Second is, we don't have Zinchenko. We had Tomiyasu. Tomiyasu is not confident enough to go forward, right? And that again ensured that Martinelli was more or less alone in that flank. So combination of factors, I feel Eddie is not that big a factor as these other two, Havertz and Martinelli and Tomiyasu. Now with Zinchenko expected to come in, I'm hoping that him and Havertz can get into a bit more rotations and things can become a bit more fluid. But it's more of a hope, a match or two, and then I'll be more than interested to sell if things don't change.
Okay, so to answer your question just now, so Mbomo, I'm not buying because I have Risa now, and I'm like you, I won't double up on Brentford. Foden, I have him right now, so it's a keep, I think, for next few games, we can see if he plays regularly. And for Brighton boys, I don't have Mitoma right now. I don't have March as well. Don't have Enciso as well. So not going to buy, because looking at their fixtures, I'm not really convinced that they can really do that well. So what do you think, Aditya? Are you going to buy any of these guys?
No, not at the moment. So
keep the
in future. See, what I would ideally do is that I would ship out Fernandes for Foden next week. And then I think I will have a Brighton player, I will have a Man City player, midfielder, I will have a United midfielder, I will have an Arsenal midfielder, and I will have a Liverpool midfielder. So you kind of just, again, the template picks are back there with the slots. So that's what I would do. I would just sacrifice and pray that, you know, Brentford, you know, don't score a lot of goals. That's the only way I will look at it now.
So you are also passing out on Phil Foden for now?
For this game week, I will pass out. For this game.
Next week, you might think of it.
I might think of it, yes.
The next question, I think we have more or less answered the question, right? Foden is our top choice?
Yes, Foden, Alvarez, then a City defender. Probably Foden, City defender, then Alvarez. But the only confusion for me is that with Doku arriving, I don't know how much that's going to throw up a Pep roulette again. So
Pep is not there for 2 weeks. That makes me
Pep happy. Is not there. Pep is not there, but you know, Pep will convey his message. So we don't.
Yeah, he'll be spiritually dead.
Hoping there's some issue with his network. You know, pre-match, mid-match changes cannot be done. But for currently, in my mind, both Foden and Alvarez are good options. Foden is, for me, a straight-out second choice, because the way he played against Newcastle, I thought he was running the entire game. And they need someone like that to take charge, because once KDB was out, creatively they were looking a bit suspect. But Foden completely changed that picture against Newcastle. So I expect him to play the next few games at least. Alvarez is a guy who might give you points, but it's very difficult to predict returns. City defense, I feel you can predict. And that's the reason for me, the third asset ideally will be a City defender rather than Alvarez.
But we see that Ake actually was benched last game, even though a lot of people bringing him in. So it might not be as predictable as we think. So if given the choice, both of you, who would you pick as your top choice for City defender?
Diaz. If I have to go there, I'll go 5.5, put in the money, and I'll go Diaz, and I'll just sleep on it because I feel he'll be value for money.
Same for Aditya.
I don't know. I'm not sure. City defenders, who's going to be? Pep is so unpredictable, even if he's there or not. So
Guardiola for 5 million?
Guardiola and Akanji are what I'm really looking at. But, you know, you need to actually sit and think for a while before you give out a straight answer. So, yeah.
Okay. So, we'll go to the last one. Goalkeepers. Assuming that not a lot of people will make any goalkeeper transfer this week, but we don't see a lot of standout goalkeepers so far. With the early favourites like Pickford, Leno really impressed, but as you can see, Fulham really considered a lot of good chances, so we cannot expect that to last. We expect him to ship in a lot of goals, and Pickford has been just a terrible pick for now. And we have seen a lot of people trying to bring in Sanchez because seems to be Chelsea's number one goalkeeper, but for me, he seems shaky in the first two games. Not sure if it's due to his lack of game time towards the end of season or just lack of confidence. And as we mentioned earlier, Henderson probably going to either Forest or Palace, and might affect our choice for Johnston and Turner as well. So, who is the best goalkeeper choice now if we have to pick one?
Yeah, I'm going to wait a couple of more weeks. We have Nail saying, hey, Pickford has Wolves and Sheffield. Yeah, that's the reason I went there. So I'm going to see out those two fixtures and then decide. But I'm starting to think, hey, you know, City, Newcastle, Arsenal are the good guys. And if there's no standard 4.5 million goalkeeper, there's no standard. You know, I want to find that guy, but if there is none, then there is none. There's no reason to fret about it. Brentford goalkeeper can be a decent pick, but I'm not as convinced. Right? So in my mind, I'm trying to see whether Pope has a price fall by any chance, you know, 5.4, 5.3. And those things in my mind, I'm just trying to see out. If these players don't improve, I might put in the money and just go for, because we have money in the bank, right? I'm not going to go for Salah. I can very well I am going to downgrade Bruno to a 7.5 million Foden, right? So I have that extra 1 million. Or I might downgrade Rashford to Foden and I have that extra 1.5 million. So you will have that extra 1 million to invest, maybe 0.5 more on upgrading your defense and 0.5 more on upgrading your goalkeeper, right? So I'm going to use that money there. Just pick someone good and play a bit long. That's my thought, right?
Yes, I don't have anything else to add here. I mean, 4.5 keepers, you shouldn't expect a lot from them, because you need goalkeepers to save. The more they save, the more save points they get, and that's how, you know, it works. So let's next move on to, I think, our boss teams. No, we have captaincies. I'm kind of running very fast, so we'll just quickly cover up the captaincy, our boss teams, and wrap it up. Here are the standout options. I've just listed out a few names based on the fixtures. I'm pretty sure Haaland is going to be like default captain. We don't have pretty much any debate there. But if you are concerned about Haaland, there were people very much concerned looking at, especially against the game against Newcastle, and obviously I think, what was that? The Super Cup against Sevilla. And they weren't pretty much happy the way Haaland played, and it looked like he was struggling, you know. What do you do if you're in that team, no Haaland captaincy? Who do you go for?
For me, if I have Jackson, which I don't have now, I would take a punt and go for it, Captain Jackson, because I expect him to start scoring this game. Just a hunch.
If you have Brighton boys, I would go Brighton. I don't have anyone from Brighton, so I would go Saka.
Good. So I can pretty much confirm that Todd Boehly has, you know, made a transfer request for Lyon.
Lyon is much more optimistic about Chelsea than the Chelsea boys. I've been speaking to Chelsea fans. I don't see a similar optimism as I can see from Lyon. He's really, really keen. But and at the end of the day, it's about fixtures, right? When it's early in the season, fixtures are the king, and I can understand. Especially Luton at home, it's a fairly strong summer. You can go there, and I'll not even. I think a good shout will be Chilwell, someone like Chilwell, right? Where you know there's a clean sheet probability, and you know there's a good attacking probability as well. A good combination to have. Chilwell is a good shout, I feel, from Chelsea.
So
Okay.
we are not going to catch Captain Rashford then, this game week. No.
No, last week even I didn't Captain Rashford, I Captain Haaland. So I've been making all blunders. Game week 1, Captain Rashford blank. Game week 2, Haaland. Captain blank. Game week 3, whoever I Captain is going to blank. So I'm sorry, guys.
I've decided to do Haaland so that if I blank, 80% of the population blanks, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Captaincy is starting to get irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
Very much. Anyways, let's move on to the last segment. That's our first teams. We have Leong's team.
Okay,
What is your planned
so
transfer
yeah,
for this
so
week?
for now my plan is to roll. So in goalkeeper, I have Johnson. It's tough to choose because Brentford and Johnson is going to bring Brentford away and Turner Man United away. So I just go for the guy that I think has more probability of keeping a clean sheet. So Johnson for me, and a back three: Saliba, Shaw, and Estupiñan. Again, there's a dilemma on whether to start Colwill, as Suncup say that there's a they are likely to keep a clean sheet against Luton. So, but we look at Shaw, that he has the attacking potential. So again, like last week, I'll be putting Shaw ahead of Colwill. And in the midfield five, again, it's a maintain for double Arsenal, Saka and Martinelli. Even though Martinelli he struggled at the start, I expect him to do something against Fulham, especially with Fulham right back. I think is Tete, which loves to bomb forward. I think he'll have some space to work into, and we have Foden, Diaz, and Rashford. So I'll keep that midfield five, and the front two is Haaland and Visa. Again, Visa is in form, so there's no reason to sell him, and Captain Haaland as well. So that's my team for now. The only thing that I'm considering right now is to bring in Jackson. Again, I've been promoting Jackson throughout from the start till now. So if I bring Jackson in, then I have to sell one of Risa and Archer. And as you know, I don't find a reason to sell them for now. So and if I bring in Jackson, I'll just have to start with a front three, which means that I have to sacrifice bench one of the midfield. If you look at it right now, probably it's Diaz, but Diaz is in form, so I can't bench him. So right now, I don't see me doing anything drastic for this team. So it's a roll for me this week. So we move on.
Yeah, I've already used one of my field transfers. So at the back, I have Pickford, Estupiñán, Chilwell, Henry, everyone at home. I've used my one transfer where I've sold Maddison for Mbeumo. I have Martinelli, Saka, Rashford, Bruno. I expect to sell one more for Foden. I've not decided who, but ideally, I think it'll be Bruno. I know he might score well this week, but I feel mid-term, I still trust Rashford to magically give us those points. Then I have Haaland and Watkins up front. I just got to know that Watkins has scored a brace. Currently, the match is going on, Conference League, playoffs. So a bit more of headache. So I might not take a hit to ship out Watkins. I might think on those lines, and maybe it's just an emblem of Foden. But that's my thoughts, kind of.
Okay, last but not the least, my template boring team. Obviously, I have Onana in goal. Chilwell, Estupiñán, Saliba in defense, Mitoma, Luis Diaz. I shipped out Jota for Diaz. I would not pretty much say a bad move for that. Diaz looked much better than Jota, so I am pretty much satisfied with that move. Fernandes, Saka, Rashford. Then I have Jackson and Haaland. Jackson is someone who I'm banking on since game week one. Hopefully, he repays the trust this week. And yeah, Captain G's on Haaland. That's it. I hope that this week is a turnaround for most of us based on the fixtures and the players that we have. If not, I think we are going to see a lot of rage hits coming out for game week 4. So let's see how's that goes. And I think we're done. We're done with this episode. If you guys want to add anything very quickly before we wrap it up.
Yeah, just one quick advice. If you own any Arsenal assets and any Man United assets that don't really score a lot so far, I would advise you to keep them for at least this game week and just roll with the transfer, because next game week we have Man United against Arsenal. You would want to do at least one transfer, maybe consider doing two, and they have the international break, and after that maybe game week five you want to consider making two transfers again, maybe due to some injuries in the international break. So don't sell your Man United and Arsenal assets, keep them for 1 week against for the good fixtures, then we'll see what to do in the next game week. That's for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think now is the crunch time. You can take your calls, but whatever decision you make, look a bit mid-term, don't look short-term. Don't look at just game week 3 for the reason for your transfers. Look at least till game week 5, game week 6, and then take a call. That's all.
Okay, then, so we're done with episode 14. That's the game week 3 preview. Those who watched on YouTube, hopefully you had a nice time. Please drop a like, subscribe, hit the bell icon. And those who are listening to audio platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, do drop us a rating and review. We'll be back next week for Game Week 4 preview. But before that, me and Zoo, that's Zoo FPL, will be live before Game Week 3 deadline, talking all things Game Week 3. And we'll have a better idea in terms of Jackson versus Alvarez and all the other debates with, much more info and press conference updates. That's it, guys. We'll see you all next week.